Hey everybody, welcome to this week's Q&R. Today we have Pastor Adam, Pastor Laura, and Pastor Wayne. I did it again without looking.
Two weeks in a row.
Yes, we are so glad that you have joined us on Facebook today for Q&R. We also have Pastor Lou, who's in the comments with us, so make sure that you drop him a line and let him know that you're here. If you have questions, you can ask those to him. You can email us at questions@BroadwayUnited.org, and we will talk about those next week when we're back here for our session of Q&R. This past Sunday, we wrapped up the series that we've had on prophets, and it's summertime. School's closing out this week in the county, and so we're entering this new season in the summer, and we'll have a new summer series, and this is going to be on the story. So we're going to be talking about the old or stories in the Old Testament. So what's the value in that? That's the first question sort of set us up today.
Yeah, well, and kind of one thing to say is we were trying to, like, those of us who are still reading through the Bible, you know, I had to catch up in May, by the way, and kind of, like, got behind.
Confessions.
So, like, I'm, like, on the right day again. But we are reading through the Bible chronologically. But to get the series right, we've had to kind of come back now. We've done through the prophets of the Old Testament. And now we're going to go back and catch some of the stories that we didn't get along the way. And the idea was to find really well-known, you know, if you grew up in Sunday school, like stories that people know about, or, you know, just in the wider culture. I mean, we know about David and Goliath. We know about
Jonah,
you know, those kinds of stories. And so we found some of those and realized that either you didn't grow up in Sunday school, and so you don't really have a background for, like, these kind of almost weird and obscure stories, and like drop, like, so this guy gets eaten by a fish, what do you do with that? Yeah. Or some of us grew up in Sunday school and we got the Sunday school version of that, the version of the story that's totally appropriate for young children.
Right.
But then that's it. Like, it's like, you know, like, you grow up and you're like, I don't really know what to do with that as an adult. So, like, when I was a kid, they still used this tool. This, you know, totally dates me because we had this thing called the flannel board. Did you guys have this?
Yes, absolutely.
Right? And so, like, this was high tech, right? Before videos, before VeggieTales, before, like, we used to watch this weird video, I don't even know what it's called, in release time at school. I'm getting off track here, but, like, it wasn't a lot of video, but we had flannel boards, right? This is, like, invented, like, in Wayne's time.
Like, I remember when it came on the scene.
Right, like
the grand opening, right. And, you know, they brought it out on a big car and had a blanket over it and revealed it. Yeah, I remember.
It was, like, back when they invented rocks and sticks.
Right.
So it was, like, a piece of flannel. I want comments on that, hopefully. A piece of flannel, and then the flannel on the character or whatever would stick to it, and then you could move those guys around. So I'm like, who's going to bring Mary up and put her on the flannel and da da da? You know, you do the little voices.
Yeah.
Like, you get to, if you're like, I was a good little boy, so that I could, you know, help with the flannel guy. So that is almost like symbolic of the Sunday school version of the story. So our series is Enter the Story, which we've been, you know, it's kind of the theme of the whole year. We're coming back to that as a series title. And we're going to come to these Old Testament stories and try to enter the story. So the series is Enter the Story Beyond the Flannel Board. So those of us who have that experience kind of get it. But I think all of us can understand, like, there's probably something important that we need to know as adults, or something that clearly is about what God is doing in the world that we need to understand to enter the story. These are stories about God at work in people's lives long ago that really do help us understand how God is at work in our lives today.
I think growing up, I had the flannel board. But also in my home, we had this book. It was like one of the most precious things in our family. I still have it today, but it was called Beautiful Bible Stories.
Beautiful Bible Stories.
And it had pictures, and every night we would sit down and we would read a story together. But, you know, they're kind of presented in that way. They're all these beautiful stories, and they're these people who are like heroes and so amazing and perfect in my mind almost.
Right.
And so it was always a little bit of a disconnect for me. It's like, oh, these people way out here, but, like, how am I ever going to be like
them?
And so I think I think that it's very valuable that we're going back through these stories so that we can see that, you know, these people were a lot right. like us and had yeah. similar struggles, and that we can find our story in their story. And I also think it's important because growing up in Sunday school, a lot of times you do these stories and you hear it and there's like this little moral to the story and you take mm-hmm. that away and that's all, right? Yeah. But all of these stories are a part of a larger story. And so I'm excited that this summer we'll be able to take these stories that are maybe really well known to us, but say, so what? You know, what does this right. mean for the right. story of God? Right. The big story of God. Right. How does this little story fit into that? Yeah. So I'm excited to see how we're able to do that.
That's good.
That is good. Yeah, so not just the context of that particular moment, but right. the bigger context of what God's been doing all the time. We used, probably when I was in middle school, the flannel board came out. You know, but I remember when
What did they do before that, Wayne?
On the cave wall, we had these paintings. You may have heard of them. When I was a kid, when you went to the doctor's office or the dentist, they had Bible story books.
Right.
And I think we had a copy of those at the church. There's like 30 volumes of them, and, you know, right. they were colored and really pretty. We looked at those, but I remember that. But I think this idea of when you think about those stories, there were a lot more stories that aren't told.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a reason why we have the ones we do have. And I think that adds some importance to it that, you know, there are a lot of stories that were similar to the ones we have. And so these throw light on all those other stories, too.
Mm-hmm.
And in the context of the bigger story of what God's doing then and now.
Yeah.
So they're relevant, not because they're historical, but they're relevant because the same God is at work writing this same story continuing on today.
Right. I like what Laura was saying about, like, our tendency, our temptation even, is to find the moral in the story. Like, mm-hmm. so yeah. what's the real purpose of telling these stories might be the question, you know, kind of yeah. a question to get. Sorry, I'm doing your job.
It's okay, but, you keep going.
Like, what's the real purpose of telling those stories? Is it to get the moral of the story so we know, you know, kind of like wrap it up, and
yeah.
or is it something else?
Yeah, I think part of the reason to tell the stories is to talk about how weird they are and to remind ourselves of the mystery of what God does and the unexpectedness. I think one of the things it can do for us is remind us that there, you know, God is doing something new all the time. He doesn't, none of those stories are exactly alike. God doesn't, and so I think it opens us up to the possibility of what does this story look like now? Not in the sense that it's going to look like those, but if we read enough of those stories, we realize that there's so much variety and diversity in the ways God acts and the way he intervenes and when he does it and the people he uses, that we can find God in really unexpected places. And perhaps, oh, you know, there's the moral is not there's a lesson for every story,
mm-hmm.
but there these stories draw us into something that's happening. Wow. They draw us into the activity and the involvement of God in every moment. We see that happen in specific moments, but the point is not what did God do here, but the point is that God is doing something all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's good.
So.
And so the Bible helps us understand God. I think it helps us understand ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. So what the moral sometimes does is get away from the humanness of these stories.
Right.
And what the Old Testament certainly has is just this human component. And, it, you know, we might say weird or perplexing or, like, odd at times. But I think all, the fact that all of that messiness and humanness is left in there is really actually pretty important.
Yeah, right.
It's not like what, like, maybe Greek mythology, almost sort of like you have the gods who are, you know, doing crazy things. But it's just like, you know, our God is doing a consistent thing. And, then people are, you know, like, there's no whitewashing of that, right?
Yeah.
There's just, it's just like...
Right.
These are people
yeah.
that didn't maybe have it all together,
right.
you know.
Yeah. And God finds a way.
God finds a way.
In the moment and with the people he has.
Right, so like one of the sermons will be on Solomon, and we kind of portray him as like the greatest king ever. I remember in the back to these, you know, beautiful Bible stories, you know, the stories of King David and then King Solomon. and thinking of those, like, I had in my head, like, the English monarchy in the Middle Ages, like the great kingdoms of the world, and they wore, like, these robes, and the robe was red, and then had the white fringe on it, and then they had the hat with the black spots, like, white hat with black spots, like, I don't, you know, I guess I'm the only one, but the but the idea of the monarchy, you know, and, like, King Solomon is portrayed as, like, this guy of tremendous wisdom, and he built the temple, and he, you know, like, he asks for wisdom. When God says, what do you want? He asks for the right thing. He asks for wisdom, and then gets everything else, you know, included, including wealth and prosperity, and the Queen of Sheba visits him and is like, man, it's not even, your hype isn't even enough to really get at how awesome you are. There's no one like him. But there's also this current, like, the guy who built the temple also had all these foreign wives and allowed that to distract him. And as he got older, those 700 wives and 300 concubines brought in the foreign god element, and he built places for them to worship their gods too. Yeah. So, like, what do you do with somebody who has that complexity to them? But that's better than sort of, like, you know, like, we understand that there are people like that. There are leaders today who have, like, two sides to them, or all of us have that. That's interesting to me, and I think important to us, actually, in the humanness of our stories.
You say, what do we do with him? We relate to him.
Yeah, we relate to him, yeah. And so, like, so the fact that that God gives wisdom shows that we need the guidance, right? So, like, you know, Solomon's all about wisdom, and it sparks this whole wisdom tradition in the Old Testament. The truth is, we need guidance. We might as well admit, you know, that we're human and we're going to need help. Yeah. But it also shows us that the fact that God bothers to give us wisdom shows that it matters. That shows the ongoing investment in very human people. Right. Well, now people don't have to listen to the Solomon sermon. They can just there'll be more of that. But we got, like, Gideon, like, coming up, right?
Yeah.
And we've also got rain.
Yeah.
So, like, what's the Gideon story tell us? But, like, you know, like, the issue is not the issue. That's what we're going to say this week. Yeah. But, like, when we think of these big problems from the outside, the Midianites attacking God's people, the issue of those folks is not really the issue, because this is God we're talking about. The real issue is that the people of God have forgotten who they are and don't know that God, you know, can do what God can do.
Right.
Which is... Yeah, that's. Yeah. I relate to that too, right?
Right. Yeah. It's this idea that I think we sometimes get the idea that we will recognize the moment when God acts, and in these stories we do. We recognize when, you know, Jonah gets swallowed by the whale, or Solomon asks for wisdom, or David kills Goliath, all those things. But I think the bigger story there is that God has relentlessly been involved in their lives, in the good moments, the bad moments, the ones they recognized, and the ones they didn't. And probably at the time, they didn't realize all that God was doing. And we see it more in hindsight. But it is this continuity of God's faithfulness. Can we trust God? That's the question. And over again, He has done things they didn't expect, we don't expect, and almost makes you think, well, it's kind of dangerous to trust Him because you don't know what He's going to do. But you can trust Him because He always inserts Himself into the story. And not just inserts Himself into it, but is in control of it.
Mm-hmm.
He's
yeah.
always in control of where the story is going.
And we're not.
Yeah. And so it's a bigger story than my life or your life or this moment in history. Mm-hmm. It's something that ties us all together. It's kind of like you think about your family, you look at photographs of moments, but that's not really what you're celebrating. What you're celebrating is that whole relationship and that whole experience with your family.
That's a good image.
But that moment reminds you of what it's like. Hmm. That's kind of what the stories do, I think.
We've got some exciting things this summer with this series. We've got a brand new preacher making a debut. We don't have to announce that
to the world. No, we probably don't have to tell people.
We don't have to say who that's going to be. But pretty excited about that. Yeah. And
that's going to be the 10th of June at Greenwood.
So nobody will show up.
And the first of July at Melrose on roof, right?
Yes, so, I will be preaching on roof.
So we're excited about the roof story and what we learn from God doing unexpected things and unexpected people.
Yeah.
And Megan will not be ruthless in her sermon.
No, I won't.
Oh, wow. We didn't know this was bad jokes.
All those
jokes.
I just
thought of that just in that moment. I didn't plan it.
That's very impressive.
So do you have any more questions in there, Megan?
Yes, I do have a question. And also, Laura is not, I'm not the only one that will be preaching. Laura will be preaching this summer, too, on David.
King David.
At Greenwood on July the 1st.
24th year. Yes. So Laura and I will be participating in preaching this series with Scott. Scott will be preaching one too.
Yeah.
So yes. So you'll have lots of different opportunities to hear from lots of different folks this summer. But it's only one time. So there you go. But summer, as this sort of sets us up for this, it's a different season, right? Lots of things happen. School's out. We are in different rhythms here at the church. You all are in different rhythms at home, I would assume some of you. And so what are some of the opportunities that we have now that we're entering this different season, a new season?
Well, we've got some ways to stay connected that we didn't have before. So the sermons online, mm-hmm. This time, we're going to use that as another church that I heard of kind of used a time like this for what they call the cutting room floor. Like there's so much in a sermon that doesn't make the actual moment. So we're going to try to have the people who have preached here to say, really, we're going to talk a lot about the sermon, follow-up kind of things from the sermon during the summer, which will be good. And then we've got this fun little kind of flat pastors thing going. I wish we had one of those, but there's at the church, or you can print out, you can go online and get this, picture of me and a picture of Wayne in vacation attire, so to speak.
Nice. They're so good. People are already doing it. Y'all keep it up. It's funny.
So the idea is to take the church with you, be the church wherever you are, which is that's the whole point. Not that we love to have our picture taken.
Right. Yeah.
But I've already seen us with Elvis at Graceland. So who knows? Oh, the places your pastors will go.
Right.
Kind of deal.
Right.
But the idea is that we stay connected to the church and that take the church with us wherever we go. So
and just remember that we are very holy and reverent people, so we want to be treated as such.
That's right.
We
don't mean no disrespect.
Please don't take the fun out of this.
Oh, the places the pastors go. Yeah. So, but this time is a way to stay connected. Sunday's a time to stay connected, obviously.
The app is a really quick and easy way for you to stay connected to sermons, to the content that we do in this, to all the podcasts that are going on, information about, what's happening in the life of the church. And so if you don't have that, you can text 77977 and text BUMC app to that number and download it. It's done.
Mm-hmm. You can give. So if you're gone this summer, if you're gone and you want to be able to give, if you're going to be missing, you can do that through your app as well. All kinds of good things.
So that's from the church side, but what about from the, just doing what you need to do side? Like summer's a different kind of time, so there's an opportunity in that, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. That's true. Yeah. I think for all of us as Christians, as people who are following Jesus, there is a seasonal aspect to that that comes and goes. There's an ebb and flow in our lives, so that there are some times when we really sense God's presence active in our life, and then there are other times when we don't sense that as much. His presence doesn't change, but our interaction, our experience of it does. And so, like summer, is a season that is very different for most of us, especially if you have little kids. There are those times in our lives when we just need to be, I think we can be intentional about exploring and discovering, where it is God is at work in our life. What's God doing? So maybe take this summer to remind ourselves to ask, what is God doing in my life right now? What is it I think he wants me to do, or what I think I should do.
There's a big difference, right?
Yeah. Because I think we can make that about our weaknesses, but in a positive sense, what is God doing? Where is God active in my life? And how can I participate in that? How can I be part of that?
Another way I think you can ask that question is to consider, what am I longing for right now? Mm. I think it's hard for us to get in touch with that sometimes. I think God gives us longings. I think for a long time growing up in the church, I felt like longings were bad because they were about me, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I think that God gives us longings for Him and for what He's up to in the world. But with all that's around us, you know, all the noise and the clutter and just, you know, our lives being overwhelmed, I think it's really hard to slow down and to kind of listen and get in touch with that longing. And so I think summer is a great time to take that time to slow down a little bit and to get in touch with, you know, what is it that I'm longing for? What is it that God is wanting to do in me and through me?
That's good.
So a little, okay, so back to the confession is good for the soul thing. Like, for me, I struggle with vacation.
I hate it. I was gone this weekend. It was the hardest 3 days for me because I needed to slow down, but I'm not good at it.
Right. I got to go 100 miles an hour and you got to get all these things ready before you go. And then when you get back, you got to catch up for all the things. And so, like, is it really worth it? Right. And I can't tell you how many times I've had this moment at like the near the end of the vacation where it's like, it was worse than just staying home and watching Netflix, you know? Like, so how do we avoid that? How does like vacation time be, how can that be holy time?
I think maybe what we do is we look for God in new places and in new expressions. You know, if we go someplace different, maybe it's easier to see or to listen to God, like Laura was saying, to slow down and listen and maybe hear a different voice. Or maybe if we put ourselves in new settings, it reminds us that we've come too familiar with what God is in our life. Our expectations have become pretty fixed and we're not open to new revelations. Maybe that's part of it, is changing the tempo of our life reminds us that we may be missing what God is doing because of the tempo we have settled into, whether it's slow or fast or whatever it is. But maybe God, you know, I really think that we like comfort and we like familiar, so we try to force our Christian life into something like that. Mm-hmm. When following Jesus is always going to be awkward and struggle, and there's going to be a little bit of confusion in it, and we don't ever get past that, and I think that's what it's supposed to be. I think that's part of what it means to be alive and to relish discipleship, and the abundant life that Jesus talked about wasn't a life of comfort and ease. It was a life of courage and boldness and awkwardness and engagement with those things that opposed us. That's what abundance is. It's not escaping those things, but it's discovering the resources to participate in what God is doing in those places. And so for vacation, to think of that not so much as a retreat from life, as the opportunity to discover where we can be engaged in life,
right?
Maybe.
And there is obviously the place for Sabbath, but if we try to do that, like, I'm going to work like crazy 50 weeks of the year, and I'm going to rest 2 weeks of the year. Right. That's not how Sabbath works, right?
That's a good point.
Sabbath is more of a weekly rhythm, a daily or weekly at the very least. And I think where I felt like the opposite of that angst over vacation is when I've done like one-time things with like each of my kids. Like, I haven't always done that, but some summers I've been like, each one day this summer, you get me for a day. What do you want to do? And it's not my agenda.
Yeah.
It's your agenda. And then we've done some very, you know, different kinds of things.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what I ought to do. You know. And we're gonna, I think, because of our schedule, which doesn't slow down, honestly, in some ways, this summer for us, we're looking for one day things or a little more spread out rather than trying to cram it in. But then also, like, 1 week doesn't work for me as well as two. You know, it takes me a week to wind down.
Right. Yeah.
So then another week to kind of live into it a little bit.
Yeah. I think there's just this sense of, you know, this is who I am, wherever I am.
Yeah.
And I'm a follower of Jesus. That's my identity. That's my energy, the thrust of my life is to discover what that looks like in every setting, every situation I'm in. And so vacation is not that different from the rest of the time. It's just a different setting and maybe a different pace, but that is still who I am and what I'm looking for, where I want to be engaged with the world. So, and when we begin to experience that and taste what that really is like, we don't, I think in the past, I've looked for vacations from my faith. I wanted a break. I just wanted to not be a Christian for a little while and not have to think about it. But I think once that becomes more
just who you are,
just who I am, then I'm looking for a break from it. I'm wanting to be part of what God's doing all the time. And so vacation is a change from my mental direction maybe, but not who I am. So that I don't have to, vacation doesn't have to be something stupendous, big. It can be something normal and still be special.
Right.
Kind of thing. Maybe, I don't know. I haven't had enough vacations to know. I've just never done too much of that. So, not because I'm a workaholic by any means, just for other reasons.
Maybe we just don't believe that everybody on Facebook is having the time of their life 24/7. I mean, that's an unrealistic expectation.
I mean, if you go on vacation with kids, are you really going on vacation? That's what I was
right. Like, there are good times. There's fun in that.
There
but
is.
But let's be honest. Yes. They're like, there's one golden moment and a bunch of like fighting over where we're going to go eat or changing diapers or getting sand out of places or, just whatever it is.
Yeah.
And everybody's doing that. So they're posting their the highlight reel of their vacation on Facebook, and that's great. But just don't let's not pressure ourselves into thinking that where our lives are not as good as somebody else's.
That's good.
I think we have to go into it looking for grace and not perfection. I think if we go in looking for perfection, we will be disappointed.
Yeah. That's good. Lower your expectations and then lower again.
Key to happiness.
Wayne taught me that.
Key to happiness, low expectations.
Yes. You're exactly right.
Look for the grace. That's good. Yes, that's a good word. Yep.
Well, I think that's it for today. We're so glad that you joined us. A couple of things about the summer. There are some opportunities here in the church or with partners of our church. VBS is right around the corner, so sign your kiddos up for that. That's June 18th through the 21st. You can sign up to volunteer. We would love to have you here to help Kids On and loving on our kiddos for that week. The founder camps are happening, so that's another opportunity where you can get out and serve and be the church and love on some kiddos on the west end of town. So you can contact me or you can comment here and I can get you connected to whoever you need to get to at the foundry. So you can do that if you're interested. The summer is going to be a fun time. As we said earlier, this is going to look a little bit different. If you have questions, please go ahead and email those in at questions@broadwayunited.org. We will get to those, but a lot of this time at Q&R for the next couple of weeks is going to be about the sermons and talking about the stories that we're hearing on Sunday morning. We recognize that you may not be here every Sunday this summer like you may be during the year, and so we want to offer this time to connect and come back together midweek for you as well.
Yeah.
So I think that is all we have today. We hope that you have a fantastic rest of the week. Warren County teachers, you have one more day, I think. So you can do it.
Warren County
parents, you have one more day today. So we hope you have a fantastic rest of the week, and we will see you right back here next week at Wednesday at noon for Q&R. Bye.
Bye.